Being good at your job doesn't automatically mean that you genuinely enjoy it. And that could be a really weird place to be, right? Like, how am I so unhappy doing something I'm good at? Well, in this episode, I'm helping you understand and answer that question, especially if you are a mid-career professional who has been working for 10 to 20 years. I'm talking about why mid-career specifically is prime time to become unhappy in your career, three reasons why being good at your job is the reason you're unhappy, and then I share the solution to help you get out of that rut and into a job you genuinely enjoy. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who is stuck in a career that is draining the life out of her, has no idea what else she could do, and has been waiting for things to change for way too long. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from being unhappy in a job that drained me, sitting in a windowless office, wondering if this is all my life was really meant to be about, to building a career I've genuinely loved and thrived in for over 12 years now. I know what it feels like to go from drained and stuck at work to doing work that genuinely lights you up and fulfills you, and I'm here to help you do the same. Whether you're ready to pivot into a whole new career path or step into the role and recognition you've already earned in your career, this is where you are going to get clear on who you are, what fulfillment looks like for you, and how to make it happen with faith as the foundation. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today we're talking about being unhappy or dissatisfied in your career, even when you're good at a job. And we're having this conversation because one of the problems that I help women solve is clarifying what kind of roles they will genuinely thrive in and find exciting and get paid well while they do it, while they do meaningful work. And what I often see happening when women come to work with me to solve that problem is that they are actually quite good and quite competent in their job right now. And so the fact that they have reached this point of dissatisfaction or unfulfillment, it can be somewhat baffling because it's like, okay, but I'm good at it. I'm getting the good evaluations. Why am I unhappy? And I think it's important to have that conversation because a few things are being conflated that are, or I should say, that might then cause you to gaslight yourself and ignore what you're feeling so that you end up staying even longer in a job that is definitely no longer working for you. So first, let me start by just sharing what I have seen this experience look like for the women that I have worked with as their career coach. Because it might be that you're getting good evaluations twice a year annually, but you're not getting the rewards, whether it's you're not getting a raise, you're not getting a promotion, you're not getting a title change. So they keep telling you that you're doing a great job, that the team can't run without you, that you're making things work, but you're not seeing the tangible rewards of those statements or those evaluations. It also might be that you have been passed over for promotion multiple times. Maybe they've told you, if you do this, you will get promoted. And then you do whatever this is. And when promotion time comes, they move the goalpost. They tell you to do something else or do one more thing, two more things. And you keep getting passed over, even though you know that you're getting results. Or what I've also seen is that you're just getting more responsibilities without the compensation. So they're giving you a new tool to implement. They are having you onboard the new team member. A new client is being assigned to you, or a new vendor, whatever it is, your responsibilities are steadily increasing beyond what they hired you for, but there is no compensation to match that. You're doing more work, but you're not being paid for doing more work. Or sometimes you even have made lateral moves, so you knew something wasn't wrong, so you went to a different company, you stayed within your industry, a different industry, you've made a couple of moves here and there, but you still keep coming back to the same place, which is that you're unhappy in your career. So now you find yourself being plagued by thoughts like, let's be grateful that I have a job, or, you know what, I've put in too much time in my career right now to walk away because, you know, you've been there for 10 or 20 years. Or maybe I just need a vacation, or now isn't the right time, you know, the economy, my kids, the mortgage. You are essentially gaslighting yourself into staying in a job that isn't working for you. And all that does is it leaves you feeling super exhausted, bored, hopeless, frustrated, and even overwhelmed in your career because you know that something is wrong. You're smart. You can tell. You're like, yes, I'm getting results. I'm getting evaluations, but I'm going home every day and I'm super exhausted. I'm waking up in the morning and I'm dreading my work. I'm hiding from my friends because I don't want to talk about my work. I'm not social anymore. I'm always complaining and my husband can tell that something is wrong with me, right? Like, you know and can feel that something is wrong. And so you're wondering why you're so unhappy, even though you're actually quite good at what you do. And I think it's important to understand where you are in your career in terms of phases and why you are now experiencing this reality of being good, being competent, but not being satisfied. And this is something that I have been thinking about lately, especially as I've been working with more and more women, especially in my group coaching program. I primarily work with mid-career women. So these are women who are 10 to 20 years in their careers. And so I've been looking at patterns and obviously improving my own skill set as a coach, getting them better results. And I recently have come up with this model. It's nothing official yet, but it's just what I've been thinking through, and I've found research that supports this, which I always love when I have a new idea and research is like, yep, you're right. You're a genius. Thank you. But on a serious note, I want you to think about the typical life cycle of any individual's career. And I'm saying typical doesn't mean everybody's going to go through it this way, but generally this is what it looks like. Most people start working around 21, right? Let's just say on average, people are done with college around 21. They start working. Most people will work until 60, 65. Again, average. Let's just call it, we work from 20 to 60, 40 years, right? If you look at that 40-year time span, you can actually break that up into four specific phases based on 10s, okay? So the first 10 years of the career is when you are sort of still getting oriented to the world of work. You're learning what it means to be a professional. You're learning how to show up at work. You're learning what is required of your job. You're learning how to maybe advocate, how to build relationships. You're just trying to understand, okay, now I'm in my first big girl job. What does this actually mean? And during this phase, you're probably spending a lot of time just tasks are being assigned to you and you're doing them. You're going with the flow. Like, you're not really choosing your specific direction. You're just doing what drops in your lap. That's the first 10 years. The next 10 years, 10 to 20, is where you are now. This is who I think of as mid-career, because you are smack dab in the middle of your journey. And you'll see why I'm saying the second phase is the middle, even though there are four phases total. And so at this phase, now you're trying to figure out, okay, I've learned a lot in the first 10 years. I see what I don't want, what I don't like. I know my boundaries. I know what works, what doesn't work. I know how I want to show up at work, or rather how I don't want to show up at work. But then there's this thought of, and then what? What next? Like, I have a sense of what's not working, but how do I find what does work? That's 10 to 20. Where do I want to stake my claim, my expertise in my career? Who do I want to be in my career? Where do I want to go from here? Where do I want to become well-known or develop skill sets? That happens in 10 to 20. And then from 21 to 30 years, this is where then you are more likely senior or established in your career. Okay. So this is like the third phase of your career. By this point, most women, like, you're an expert, you're known for something, whether you're doing the panels, the conferences, you're at the senior level, you have established a claim, an area of expertise that people know you for and come to you for, that is a lot more established. And then in the last 10 years, so this is what, 31 to 40 years of working, this to me is where you're like winding down. At this point, most women, and I've even seen this with some of my mentors, they're really focused on pouring back into the next generation, just having more peace in their lives, enjoying the fruit of their labor. They're really, really winding down, except, you know, in situations where financial independence wasn't set up early. Some people are still actively working, but that's why I said at the beginning of this, typical, right? This is the typical journey that most people go through. So you can see that if we're winding down by that fourth phase, really it's then three phases, 30 years of active work. So years 10 to 20 are the middle of your career. This is where you are in what I call the messy middle, because 10 years in, you know what doesn't work. But because you were spending those first 10 years really just going with the flow, taking what comes your way, putting your head down, being a good team player, just getting things done, performing, getting the performance evaluations, maybe trying to get the raise, maybe trying to climb the proverbial ladder, there was never any part of you that was actively choosing what comes next in my career. You were just in it, right? You didn't want to cause waves, so you were just in it. But now, 10 years in, you have reached a natural transition point in life where you're like, okay, I'm ready for something different. Like, I've done the hustle. I've done the, you know, ups and downs and playing the game. But now I see that that's not working for me or who I want to be in the world of work. And I need to figure out what's next. There's actually research. There's a research model. I think it's called the kaleidoscope career model, something along those lines, that talks about the fact that mid-career is where a lot of women want to be, desire to be a lot more authentic in their career. They want to show up more authentically. They want more relatedness in their career. They can be seen, they can be valued, they can be heard. That naturally happens when you hit that mid-career mark. So you are in the messy middle where now you have to do a career task you've never done before, which is figure out, who do I want to be in my career? Where do I want to go in my career? And this is what happens when you're good at the job, but you're seeing that it doesn't work for you. Like, yes, I'm good at the job, but I don't have any autonomy. I don't have any choice over my work or how I work. Yes, I'm good at the job, but I don't show up authentically. The version of me that came out of school and was trying to fit in and was willing to contort herself is the version that has lived for the past 10 years. And that version doesn't work anymore because it's not authentic. And you realize, like, look, as I'm growing older, I can't afford to be playing these games. I want to be authentic. I want to be in a place where I'm seen, heard, and valued. That's why you're unhappy, right? Like, you're in a place where you're like, you know what? Yes, I can do things. I'm good at doing things, but I'm not growing. I'm not developing new skills. I'm not developing new expertise. So that is why you're unhappy. Because the first 10 years were not you making intentional moves and decisions. You were just going with the flow. So yes, you developed your skill set up to a point, but you're unhappy because the job no longer fits who you are. In those 10 years, you have grown and you have developed. And what I see is that in most cases, the company hasn't grown or developed or allowed the role to grow or evolve with you. So now there is a mismatch between who you are and what you do, which is hard when you've been doing this thing for 10 or more years, because it's like you have now tied, at this point in your career, you have very much tied your identity to what you do. Like, you see yourself as your career. You introduce yourself as your career. Most of your time and your waking hours is spent in your career. So when you reach a natural evolutionary point where the work no longer matches who you are, even though you have tied who you are to the work, it can feel very disconcerting. Because it's like, okay, I'm good at this, but it doesn't feel like me. But I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. So who am I now? Like, where am I supposed to go? It feels really disconcerting. And so I wanted to share with you, now that you understand, I really wanted to just start by laying that model so you can see how you're in the messy middle and why your experiences in that 10 to 20 year mark is going to be very, very different from the first 10 years or the last 10 years of your career. So that being said, now let's talk about why being good does not equate to happiness, especially when you are mid-career, right? Like, why you are good at your job, but still unhappy. And the first reason is, and I'm going to share three reasons with you. The first one is that by the time you hit mid-career, being good at your job becomes a cap in your career. Essentially, being good at your job has led to a ceiling where there's no more growth happening. There's no new experiences being thrown your way. There's no new projects, new responsibilities. And the research is very clear. We all need, if you're a working professional, we need growth to be satisfied in our career. We need to feel like we are competent and that we're developing new skills to be satisfied in our career. So yes, you can be good, but if you are in an environment that doesn't value you or see you or reward you for that goodness, so to speak, what tends to happen is you're good, but you're staying good at the same level. You're doing the same things over and over and over again, which is why you're bored, which is why you can do the job in your sleep and you know that you're not using your full potential. You're not using your full skill set. A cap, a limit has been put on how much you can expand in your career. And that's why you're not happy, because you can feel that you've been put in a box. You can feel that there's no room, whether it is because the company is too small and they're just not going to open up the type of roles that you want, or the company is too rigid and they don't value you as an individual. So they're not giving you those new opportunities, but they're giving it to other people. Maybe they're giving it to your other colleagues, but you're not the one getting it. Or they're bringing in external talent. I remember I once worked with a client who had essentially been doing the work of the chief diversity officer for 2 years. When the chief diversity officer left, she was the director. And so when the CDO left, she was doing the work of both the director and the chief for 2 years while they searched for the replacement for the chief. And she thought it was going to be her. Lo and behold, they ended up hiring an external white man to take the role. Well, here's this Black woman who internally, she'd been doing the work. She had been going to meetings. She was the only director in C-suite meetings running the department, and they did not give her the role. That's an example of what I mean by you've been good, but a cap has been put on, because they are now taking you for granted and they don't value the value that you bring to the table, and they're not willing to reward you for it. Not to mention the fact that you can be good at your job, but have no autonomy or choice over your work. You don't have a say in when you do your work, how you do your work, what you even work on. And this can make you really unhappy, because research shows that having autonomy is one of the key ingredients we need for work satisfaction. You cannot be satisfied in your career if you feel like you have no choice or no say over when, how, where your work is being done. So that is the first reason why you are good at your job, but you're still so unhappy, is that being good at your job has become a cap. It has become a limit, a ceiling for you. So that goodness is not opening new horizons. It's not broadening the scope of what's happening in your career. It is literally just now this cage that you have been put in, and you know that and you feel that, which is why you are unhappy.
Hey, if you are unhappy in your career right now, whether you are not sure what your next move is, you've tried to make a change and it hasn't worked, or you just know something needs to shift, but you don't know where to start, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. On this call, we'll get to the root of what is keeping you stuck in your career, and I will show you the 3 specific ways I can help you hit your career goals. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call to schedule your career clarity call today. Now let's get back to the episode.
Second reason why you can be good at your job and still be unhappy is that being good at your job has become a trap. So the first one, it was a cap, now it's a trap. And I want to talk about this from 2 lenses, where there's an internal trap that you create because you're good at your job, and then there's an external trap that your environment or your company or your manager create because you're good at your job. So starting with the internal piece, when you're good at your job, that competence that you have developed becomes your new safety net. You know that, okay, this is what I am good at. I can do this job. I can operate at this level. I can get these things done. So that the idea of doing something else or something different can feel really risky, because this is now your safe zone, your comfort zone. I'm good at this one thing. I'm going to get paid for it. Boom, bam. Like, yeah, I might not be happy, but look, this is my zone. I've been doing this for 10 years, for 12 years, for 15 years. I can't do anything else. This is where I'm meant to be. That's like the language, the internal dialogue that's happening, where you create a trap for yourself, because leaving what you're good at, leaving what you're competent at, can feel too risky, right? You are too scared of doing something brand new that you're like, what if I'm not good at that? What if I don't have the skills? What if I'm not successful doing some other thing? That idea feels too scary for you. And so you have internally created this false story that what you're doing now is all you can do. That because you're good and competent at this, you should just stay because this is where you thrive. You are too scared to go discover new horizons in your career. Not to mention, I mentioned this briefly earlier, but when you hit this mid-career point, something called identity fusion has happened. And identity fusion is where you tie your identity to your job. So not only does your competence feel safe, the very identity you have built around this career path that you have been in for over 10 years feels safe. It's like, I've been doing this for so long. This is now who I am. I am an HR generalist. I am an engineer. I am a project manager. I am a teacher. That's the message you're telling yourself. I am a lawyer. I am an accountant. So because you have fused your identity, that is what feels safe. Because to your brain, even though you're unhappy, when your brain thinks about making a career change, it's not just changing jobs. It's changing your entire identity, and that is so much more scary to your brain. So you are trapped in your current identity that you have built around the job you're doing now. So that is the way that internally being good can create a trap to where even though you're unhappy, you still can't leave the job. And that's why you're good, but you're still unhappy because you're trapped in this environment that doesn't fit you, that you're not thriving in, that you're not happy in, that you're not being paid well in. And then externally, the way that good can lead to a trap is that your company or your manager don't want to lose you because you're good. I actually had a woman who just joined my coaching program a couple of weeks ago because her manager literally said to her, "We can't afford to lose you from the position you're in." Like, she had had conversations with her manager about potentially getting promoted and having new responsibilities or moving to a new department. And straight up, they were like, "No, you're too good at your job. We can't lose you. Like, we can't let you go." So now your company has created this external trap where maybe with your manager, it's like, because you're doing your job so well, you're making your manager feel good, like not feel good, sorry, you're making your manager look good. And so they don't want to lose you because if they lose you, they'll lose your performance and they can't afford that. Or they just feel like, oh, if they move you, promote you, whatever it may be, it will cost them money. They don't want to pay you more and you're good where you are. You're serving them where you are. You're getting results where you are. So why will they rock the boat? There's no need for them to mess with a good thing. They have a good thing going in you. So they have created an external trap. Not to mention that we see from the research that mid-career is when most women desire more authenticity in their careers. So this 10 to 20 year window is where a lot of women want to be showing up more authentically as themselves and be valued for who they are and be respected for who they are. Unfortunately, when you've been working in the same path or company for years, it is very unlikely that your company will allow you to now show up differently, so to speak, right? It's like you want authenticity. You need your work to reflect who you are, not what you do, but your company's not going to let you change. They have boxed you into a version of you that maybe either it's the way you communicate or the roles you do or the responsibilities you get. They've trapped you in a box of how they see you so that while you are developmentally in this phase of life where you want to be more yourself, you want to be more natural, you want to stop playing the games, you can't because the environment you are in has created a box that they've trapped you in because you're so good at your job that now you cannot blossom and show your authentic and your true self. And that is why you're still unhappy, even though you're good at your job. So that is the second way that being good at your job can also lead to unhappiness, is that good has become a trap, an internal and an external trap. And then the third and final reason that you might be good at your job and still be unhappy is that good happens with time. Like, you have to recognize that being good happens with time. And time does not automatically equate to happiness. When you have spent 10 to 20 years doing something in your career, you will become good by default. That is just natural law of time and practice. If you do anything long enough, you will eventually become good at it, even if it is something you don't like. So because you've come so far in your career doing similar or the same things, maybe working with the same company or having the same title, you've been doing it for so long that you had to become good. You could even have hated your job from day one. You could have hated your job for the past 5 years, but because you kept showing up and you kept doing it, you have become good at it. Good happens with time. And just because you're good at it, isn't evidence to support that it is the right job for you. In fact, your unhappiness is the very evidence you need to know that it is not the right job for you. Because if it was the right job for you, you would be happy. You would be happy in your work. So right now, you are just in a season of your career where you have become competent as a side effect of doing your work long enough. So you can be good and competent and still unhappy because you're doing the wrong work. You're using the wrong skill sets. You're working on the wrong topics. So the work itself does not engage you. It does not motivate you. It does not excite you. And that is why you are unhappy in your career, even though you're good at it. So those are the three reasons why you might be good at your job, but still be unhappy. Good has become a cap. Good has become a trap. And good happens with time. And these are all, again, very specific to being in that mid-career phase of your career where you are now between 10 and 20 years in. And that's why you're feeling this restlessness, this dissatisfaction, this frustration, because you have had enough time to develop competence, but not enough time to find alignment that will allow you to thrive in your career. So what exactly is the solution, right? You're listening and you're like, okay, that's me. Yep. They aren't moving me. I'm trapped. There's a ceiling. I'm capped. Yep. I became good because of time. But how do I get out of it? How do I get out of this trap? How do I break through this ceiling? How do I become fulfilled and happy in my career again? Girl, I got you. I got you. Let's talk about it. So there are three simple steps for you to solve this problem. The first one is just name what's happening. Okay. I think at this phase, when you are so bored and exhausted from work, it's easy to start telling yourself you're burnt out, especially in this culture where everybody and their mama is using the word burnt out left, right, and center. And I gotta tell you, the licensed counselor in me cringes when I hear words like burnout, trauma, trigger being used out of context. I'm like, y'all, these are research clinical terms that you are using without the right context. Like I saw somebody on Instagram say burnout is not real. I'm like, baby. There was a lot of research out there that shows us that burnout is real. Sorry, I got on my clinical side horse for a bit. But where I'm going is, so it's easy when you're exhausted to say, oh, I'm burnt out. I'm facing burnout. I'm experiencing burnout. You're not. I mean, you might be, but you're probably not, because burnout is what happens. It's the exhaustion that comes from doing too much work. I know women who are deeply unhappy in their careers. And they're like, I barely did anything today. Why am I so tired? Because you're doing misaligned work. You're not burnt out. You're misaligned. You are exhausted from doing the wrong thing. It takes energy to force yourself to care about a job you don't care about. It takes energy to use skills that don't come naturally to you. It takes energy to try to put on a mask and exist in an environment that doesn't allow you to be your true self. All of that takes energy. Doing misaligned work is exhausting. So the first thing is just have to name what is happening to you. You're doing misaligned work, and that is why you are exhausted. Once you've done that, you can do the second thing, which is give yourself permission to trust that feeling. Give yourself permission to trust that feeling, because what is likely to happen is you'll say, oh yes, I'm in misaligned work. And then immediately you're going to gaslight yourself. You're going to gaslight yourself, but it's not that bad. Maybe things will get better. Maybe I should just put my head down and do my job. Maybe I should just try harder. Maybe I just need a new program. Like, you will just start gaslighting yourself. So you have to give yourself permission to actually trust that what you're feeling in your gut and in your intuition and your instinct is true, that this career path is not right for you. Especially now that you know that that restlessness at mid-career makes complete sense. Like, you are literally developmentally doing what you are supposed to do. Just trend, like, when we look at developmental research on career development and identity development, you are following the natural order. Mid-career is where we tend to feel that restlessness because you are now in a position where you need to make a decision you've never made before in your career, which is, who do I want to be in my career? Where do I want to go in my career? You've just been going with the flow up until this point. Now you have to decide, and nobody has taught you how to decide. Right? So you have to trust that what you're feeling is real and know that if you ignore it, you will remain unhappy in your career. So once you have named what's happening, you've given yourself permission to trust what's happening, now you can take action. And notice the language I used here. Take action. Stop thinking that you can reflect your way into clarity, because you can't. Okay. Journaling is not going to give you clarity. Reflecting is not going to give you clarity. Thinking is not, no. Action is what gives you clarity. Because until you have data, you cannot know if you're going in the right direction or not. And you cannot have data without actually doing something. Clarity comes from doing. Clarity comes from taking action, not from thinking. So you need to start doing things. Do a values audit. Talk to people who are doing the kind of work you suspect you want to do. Pay attention to what feels good in your work, what energizes you, and what doesn't. Start collecting data that will point you in the right direction for where you want to go next in your career. So that's how you solve that unhappiness problem, even when you're good at your job. Name what's happening, give yourself permission to trust that feeling, and then take action to change your situation. Now, if you're listening and you don't want to waste time trying to do all of that on your own, this is where I would come in as a career coach to be able to support you. We can definitely work together to do all of it, from clarifying why you're unhappy to figuring out what's next in your career to landing that job. That is what I help my clients do. And so if you want to even just start by having a conversation to see if working together is right, I want to invite you to book a free career clarity call with me. If you go to hercareerdoctor.com/call, C-A-L-L, call, then you can book a free career clarity call with me. And on that call, what we do is we just talk about where you are in your career right now. What's going on? What's not working? Why do you feel unhappy? Why do you feel stuck, like you can't solve that problem? And based on everything you share with me, I will share with you the three specific ways that I can help you land a more fulfilling, higher paying job that you genuinely enjoy. And if I can't help you, honestly, I'll tell you that on the call too, right? This is a diagnostic call where we figure out what's wrong and I help you see what it would look like for me to support you to land that job. And then we decide on the next steps together. So I want to invite you to go to hercareerdoctor.com/call, C-A-L-L, so we can have a conversation about what working together to get you out of that job that is making you unhappy would look like. Thank you for listening to this episode. As usual, I hope you found it helpful, and I will catch you on the next episode. If you are done waiting for things to get better on their own and you're ready to get clear on what your next career move actually is, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call. On the call, we'll talk about where you are in your career right now, where you want to be, and exactly what it will take to help you hit those career goals so you can be fulfilled in your career while getting paid well. Again, that URL is hercareerdoctor.com/call, and that link is also going to be in the episode description below. I can't wait to talk with you.